say it, the thought and the idea is already there, and it's propagating to that even though you stop it. So, no.
Okay, no.
Okay,
I get it. That's a big word, though, you know? Sometimes the kids don't know big words. You didn't know that big word, did you?
Wait, what?
You didn't know that big word, did you? Insinuate. You know, whenever she insinuates something that you might do bad, she's trying to keep something out of your mouth. Because the thinking is that you've eaten some sin. You know, it's in sin you ate.
That actually does make real sense. Sorry. Okay, need to get ready for
it. All right. I'm gonna get started,
yes.
Sound good?
Yes.
It's just you and me.
Uh-huh.
And the little man.
I love these evening studies. I
being
like
little means that
before.
You're not a man. Okay, I just want to say.
Oh, table
when
top.
You're little,
okay.
You're not a man.
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah.
So, next Sunday, we're probably gonna be on the table out, the tables out there, because usually that's what we do right after.
We'll be here.
Okay.
Yeah. So we'll be here Thursday to help him here, and then Friday, Jerry and I will be here to help with the games.
Cool.
Saturday, we'll be here too. I wasn't sure how it was all going to work, so I haven't signed up yet. But
if you want to volunteer, just show up.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, Leah will be like, yes, please.
Okay.
Go here.
Sunday is, so James gets $7 city tickets from work, and he gets them cheap, and we always... This September and October is big birthday month for our family, so it's kind of the time that we get to go. So Sunday, that's where we'll be.
Nice. Have fun.
Yeah. It's going to be a busy weekend.
Yes, it is. Whew. You got to forgive me. I have been lacking sleep for days now.
I understand.
I am looking forward to tomorrow so much.
Do you get to sleep in?
A little bit. The hope is that I can have Abby take all the kids to school, and then I can just do that.
It's always nice to have an older child.
It's different, and now I don't mind it because she has her own. She can take a truck, I still can do.
That's nice too.
What's really gonna throw me off though is that I'm actually gonna have that one for a while. So Leah's gonna put all the miles on the new one.
Okay.
Because that one is a new car, and the more miles we put on it, the faster the warranty runs out.
Got it. Yeah.
And so we don't want that.
Yeah, I hear
we wanna hold on to that thing as long as we can. The other one doesn't have that many miles on it. It's got...
what is the other one?
It's a Ford Escape.
Okay.
Not a hybrid or anything like that. It's just a gas engine, but it gets 29 miles a gallon.
Oh, that's nice.
27,
not
29.
Terrible. Yeah.
No, that's pretty good. Yeah, we went around looking at vehicles and stuff. We landed on that one because we... But I don't have a problem with cars. But Leah said, I don't want a car. I don't like cars anymore. Like, she doesn't like getting down into them.
Does her knees bother her? Is that hard for her?
No, I think she's gotten used to being tall.
Okay. And she is tall.
Well,
compared to me.
Right, but at the same time, she learned to drive in a minivan.
Okay.
She had cars. We've had cars for a while, but
it is nicer though to be able to kind of step up into a vehicle than to just have to crouch down into one.
It's been almost, I'm trying to think, it's been 18 years since we had
a car.
Well, no, that's not exactly true. I mean, I had a car. I had a Ford, a Toyota Matrix, but we had vans for the longest time. We just now have switched to SUVs. I guess we grew up out of the van.
That's what we did too. The Prevent SUV. No.
What you have is actually a lot.
What's that?
The Suburban.
Yeah. I'm not sure how much longer that thing's gonna take us, but I don't know, it's been the most faithful out of all the vehicles we've had, so.
And if you maintain those things, they keep going. That's kind of the rule. So, so I do this thing with my kids, whenever they yawn and they have their mouth open wide, I'm like, be careful, flies are here. Folks will get them, so I'm pretty good about closing my mouth. So today we're going to be looking at how Jesus is the perfect sacrifice. The question is, share about a sacrifice you made in your life in order to achieve something important to you. Was it worth it? Why or why not?
What is the question? Is it on here or is it just one you're asking?
One at the bottom. It's down there at the bottom of the adding page. The top section up there is always the same.
Okay. Well, the one that I can think about, I think it was the biggest sacrifice I ever made, was to quit work with my kids.
Yeah.
And at that time, it was Cade who was young, and he was autistic. So I felt like he needed me more than me being at work and him around somebody who didn't understand him. I mean, we've had some crazy experiences, but I feel like things would have been a lot worse had I not been home. So, yeah, that was definitely worth it.
See, I tend to think, like, when it comes to sacrifices, it's like yesterday. I mean, it's not that big of a sacrifice, but I literally was at the Japanese Fall Festival all day. And I had stuff I needed to do, but
is it looking important over here?
Something's going on?
Yeah, one in this direction, I'm not sure why.
Oh, okay. Well, figure it out.
Yeah.
Just be in there, you know? I felt weird. There's a lot of interesting folks there.
Yeah.
Well, and the thing is, it's like I was looking at them all, and a lot of them were really confused. These people are just confused. And what was interesting is I was sitting there with a couple of young ladies who were waiting for Abigail to get there. They wanted to get Abigail's signature on their picture. I mean, it was such a great moment for her when she finally got there. But I was talking with these young ladies and just all this other stuff, and they were saying, you know, my dad would never do this for me.
Yeah.
So it's pretty cool to do that. You know, she's my daughter. I do whatever I can to help her out. Halfway done, and I could have done it, but God called me out, so I left. And pretty much ever since that point in our lives, I had to give up being primary for my family.
Poor man, that's really tough.
It's incredibly hard.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
Yeah.
I've never left. When we were in North Dakota, I was the one that brought in the money. You know, that felt good.
Mm-hmm.
And Leah was home with the kids, and that felt good.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just a horrible situation. And then when we got into this job, it started off with food program, and so that paid for all of us. That was a paycheck. And when it ended, we could have left. In fact, my 360 was just saying, you know, if anyone wants to leave or anything, we'll give you guys recommendations because this is not on you. You guys are doing a wonderful job. We can't do it anymore because the state changed the rules. And so there's no money, no paychecks. So we had a sit down meeting at a Life 360 church out in the middle of nowhere. At that meeting, we sat down and talked about it. I went home and I really talked to Leah and I said, you know, I wasn't surprised by it because at that point I'd actually already stepped down from being the manager over there. Because I had decided to go back to school essentially. And that's where I am today in this whole process. But I kind of saw the writing on the wall. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I said, you know what? I don't know if this is going to be sustainable long term. You know, we have a choice. We can stay or we can go. If we go, I can get another job. It's not a matter of whether I'm employable or not. Of course I'm employable. Whether or not it's a good job or not, I don't know. I can go back to my old job. But we decided to stay. Because at that point we had invested into the community. And it was one of those moments where, honestly, if it was a year before that, I don't know that we would have stayed.
Kind of everything here.
Yeah. But, and the reason why is because a year before that, the church was just, it was struggling. It was in bad shape. I mean, everything was just in bad shape. Bad, bad, bad shape. And, had started up that year before, we'd started up the Bears End after school program, and it was basically a flop. It's one of those wonderful moments in Conway when they tell you what we all need, and then nobody actually shows up. I know we're not the only ones to experience that. Hardest thing I've ever had to do is let people know. But I don't regret being here at all. I love the fact that we're here. And I know that there's a great future here. And I'm excited for it. It's just, it took a sacrifice on our part to stay. And my wife, man, she's sacrificing like crazy for us.
She's amazing. She really is.
There's some days I'm glad I'm married to her, because I know if we weren't, she'd be gone. I'm like, yeah, whew, better for worse, woohoo. But, no, she is next level. And I'm just happy that Waynesville, which has been her thorn in her flesh, is going to be finally getting relief.
So she won't have to cover that one anymore. Is that official now, or is it upcoming? Okay. Oh, yeah.
She's going to be dumping that one and picking up another one that's monthly.
Okay.
I mean, it's a pay cut for us, because the Waynesville one has been weekly. It was there for a season. And I think the season that it was there for was so that we could earn the money and save the money so that Leah could do her stuff in Florida. Because we paid for it outright. We didn't take any loans out or anything. We're done with all that jazz. We've been able to pay off a ton of debt with that money. And so that season is done. It's okay.
I wonder about, you know, me not working. Sometimes it's a real struggle, because sometimes, you know, something unexpected comes up and we really struggle making ends meet. But you would rather be can be available for the children while they're young. So that's the choices we make, and yeah, we end up fighting to pay bills, but God has always been faithful to help us through it, so.
I know Leah struggles with that as well. She wants to be home. But at the same time, the struggle is that she wants to be at work too. She's like, she's told me, she said, I've done all of this education. I worked so hard to get where I am.
Yeah.
Just to stay home. And when she was at home, she would get itchy. You know?
Yeah.
You know the itch?
I know the feeling. I do.
My dad and I, we talk about this stuff all the time whenever we go through these different seasons. I said, yeah, she's going to stop working, and when she stops working, it's going to take about 3 months. About 3 months into it, she's going to be itching, and she'll find something to get busy with or something to commit to or whatever it is. She just gets 1,000% to it. It's good, I mean, but, you know. Right now in the season that we're in, it's just she's giving 1,000% to earning us some money so I can finish school again for the third time. This time's the last time. And what's different is that the last two times I never felt like it would be the end. And this time I do.
And you feel it this time. Yeah.
Well, God said otherwise. Well, we're supposed to be talking about sacrifice.
Well, we started again. We got on the rabbit trail. We got tired. I think it was still relatable.
I think when I'm tired, I go on more rabbit trails. I'm sorry.
I don't think it's good.
All right, let's do our video.
Jesus is the perfect sacrifice. Jesus' crucifixion is central and climactic. All the Gospels build Jesus' biography toward this pivotal event. Ask anyone who's ever heard of Jesus, and more than likely, they have heard of his death. Even ancient historians outside the Bible, like Josephus, mention Jesus and his death on the cross, but even an almost universal recognition of his death doesn't answer the most important question about it. Why? Why did Jesus have to die? Did Jesus have anything to say about it? After all, it was a crucifixion. He was put to death. Had his plans gone horribly wrong? The Bible stresses that Jesus knew what was ahead and he embraced it willingly. You see, on the night before he was executed, Jesus prayed in the garden, "If it is possible, let this cup of suffering be taken away from me. Yet, I want your will to be done, not mine." Jesus must have seen the temple guards with their torches crossing through the Kidron Valley, coming for his arrest. He could have fled or hid, but he faced them and accepted what was ahead. In fact, Jesus had already explained to his disciples, "The Father loves me because I sacrificed my life so I may take it back again. No one can take my life from me. I sacrifice it voluntarily." Jesus wasn't caught off guard. His death was not bad luck or poor planning. Jesus died for a purpose. He willingly laid down his life for a purpose. Jesus died as a sacrifice. The Bible offers a rich history of sacrifice in Hebrew tradition found in the Torah. For some sacrifices, what you would offer depended on your income. If you were well-to-do, you would offer a bull. If you're a middle-of-the-road kind of, you would offer a goat or a lamb. And if you're struggling financially, you might offer doves. But Hebrews says it's not possible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Because of this, Christ became the sacrifice once and for all. In fact, John 1:29 says, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." At one point in Jesus' ministry, he met a guy named Nicodemus. Nicodemus. And Nicodemus confessed that Jesus was a great teacher, sent by God to show people how to live. But then Jesus pushed the conversation further. For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. God sent his Son into the world not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. Jesus was more than just a teacher. He came to reveal the love of God. He came to lay down his life and save the world. Jesus is the perfect sacrifice.
Operating at this time, and the Romans, and just the whole situation, and then there's Jesus. And not succumbing to any of the corruption. And some of the things that touch me the most, I guess, are backlash that he got from things like eating with sinners and loving people that others felt didn't deserve it. And I don't know, for me that's a big deal. I sometimes feel like I don't always know exactly what I'm supposed to be doing. I feel like, you know, at my age, I should know this. But one of the things that always comes back to me are, you know, the instance of eating with sinners and loving on people. And sometimes I feel like I just want to kind of be that kind voice that a lot of people never get to hear. That smile that a lot of people never get to see. I think about all the shattered and broken homes. And what a gentle, kind act can do to help somebody feel like there's hope. Those are the things that I think about. I don't know if I actually answered the question.
It was good. Yeah. We were doing communion today. I've had the same communion slides for 4 years, I think. I've said the same communion every 4 years, almost traditionally. And I was thinking today, I was like, you know, this is interesting. I mean, it's one of those things like you knew it, but you're dwelling on it again. And so, and I'm saying that's like, no, I had a moment where I almost cracked up a little. Yeah. Because I was thinking about how Jesus knew. He knew what he was getting himself into. And I can't compare myself to him, because he's God. But I was thinking, like, man, He knew that he was going to Jerusalem for this purpose. He walked into it. He knew as he was going into the city on the donkey and everyone was worshiping him, that those people just a few days later would be calling for his death. He knew Judas was going to betray him. We knew that he was going to be crucified on a cross. I mean, there's 100 ways to go out, you know, and be executed. But that's the way that it's going to happen. And it's horrible. He knew all of that. And yet he still walked into it. And I sit here and I just think, wow. There's times when I just know stuff is going to happen. And I think, well, let's just avoid that. And I think that's common sense. You know, I think the biggest difference is because no one's expecting me to sacrifice my life for someone else to go to heaven at this point. You know, I mean, maybe someday, maybe that's a thing. I don't know, maybe a gun pointed to my head where it's either me or them, you know, I don't know. But I was just thinking, like, you knew exactly what you were doing. You knew exactly what was going to happen. You were sweating bullets up on that hill as the people with torches are coming up there to get you. You walk back down and the people who are supposed to support you the most are asleep. I don't know if I could have gone through with that. Like he could.
Right.
I don't think we're... No, I mean,
even Peter said that he would.
Yeah. And he didn't. The disciples eventually, many of them were, most of them were martyred. So they knew that doing what they were doing was going to end up with them in a lot of trouble, but you don't deal with that. And, I mean, I'm not really trying to look for it or anything like that.
For sure.
But at the same time, I'm sitting back going, man, do I have it easy? And I was thinking about that as I was looking at the cup today, the cup of the new covenant. How easy we have it. I mean, I spent the first half of my message today talking about the Old Testament, about meditating in the Old Testament, and like all the laws. And I was really stuck on that for a little bit. It's the laws. It's like all these laws, and you have to follow all these rules and all this stuff. And you know, we still have rules. We still have the law. It's still around. But we're not dependent upon being perfect anymore. Because of that, I'm pulling a little bit out, but yeah. Would you like to read John 19 for me?
Sure. My voice is a little.
It's okay.
One and six.
Yep.
Then Pilate took Jesus and had him flogged. The soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head. They clothed him in a purple robe and went up to him again and again, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they slapped him in the face. Once more, Pilate came out and said to the Jews gathered there, "Look, I am bringing out to you to let you know that I find no basis for charge against him." When Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, Pilate said to them, "Here is the man." As soon as the chief priests and their officials saw him, they shouted, "Crucify! Crucify!" But Pilate answered, "You take him and crucify him. As for me, I find no basis for a charge against him."
So Jesus has been arrested. He's brought before the person who's the only person in that area that's allowed to give out a death sentence. Even though the Mosaic Law exists, the priests are not allowed to give out death sentences.
Right.
They have to go through Pilate. Pilate doesn't really want to be there. In the first place.
It's obvious, yeah.
Yeah. And under Roman law, he's done nothing wrong.
Right.
And that's because they are judging him. Pilate has to judge him based on Roman law. Under Roman law is the only way that you can be put to death. But at the same time, he capitulates to them and has him beaten. Crown of thorns, and that sucker is no joke, slammed on his head. I'm just remembering the movie, you know?
The Passion?
Yeah.
That was intense.
I thought about doing that, like, around Easter time, having a viewing of it here at the church.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm like, kids will show up. And I don't know if parents would be okay with that, you know? It's not exactly a...
That's a hard one for me to watch. I fall every time, so...
I think it's a good reminder, though.
It is.
Because, I mean, people aren't reading their Bibles enough already. But if you don't have a historical lens, you don't look at these things, you don't know. Yeah, I was talking about Pilate being the only one that can execute something that's actually written there. I didn't know that. But he basically says, you know what, forget it. I'm washing my hands of this situation. You go do with him whatever you want. Wow. Poor Jesus.
I know. Can you imagine the betrayal? Not to mention all the physical things he's enduring, but just the betrayal.
And how much does he love and care about these people that are so angry? And it's mob mentality. I mean, everyone's screaming crucify him, but nobody knows why. It's like when you go to a protest and you ask people why they're there and they tell you some line, and then you ask them, okay, tell me about that. I don't know.
Yep. One mouth leads to another. It ends up being mindless.
Yeah, and it's kind of crazy to think that the authorities, the leadership, all abandoned him and turned him over to just be killed. See, and that's kind of scary for me, because it's like I've kind of, being in the military and growing up in the military, really, it's like I've lived in the system for so long, I've learned how to just kind of let it happen. Not worry about it so much. You know, I've got family members that'll tell me, like, oh, you need to be careful with this and careful with that. And so I'm like, okay, they can get into my bank account, but what are they going to steal? I mean, they can steal your identity, and I'm like, and do what with it? I mean, I'm not that important. So I'm going to find my identity and go, maybe the next one.
We have a question here that says, why do you think the religious leaders hated Jesus?
Yeah.
Wanted him to be executed? Honestly, he was exposing their corruption. They were not operating according to the law.
It wasn't just that. You look at scripture, they are also envious of him.
Yeah. Sure.
Because he's getting so much attention.
Yep.
And the attention that they're getting is turning the people away from them.
Yep.
And so it's, you know, the prom queen gets angry.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, the corruption. Sadducees are crazy corrupt.
Yeah.
And the Pharisees just, they were all about themselves. You know, they were, that was the poor people, basically. So is there, oh, go ahead.
Basically using their position for gain, whether it was political or whether it was financial, it didn't matter. It was purely selfish.
This question says, what are some ways Jesus is still at fault to religious people?
In all honesty, I really don't like religion. I don't. I was having this conversation earlier. You know, the scripture says to seek after your own salvation with fear and trembling. And I think too many people want to be in control. And yes, there are leaders and there are people that are set up to be that. But you can't be the Holy Spirit for people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of my favorite sayings is, I need to hear what the Lord is saying to you because I am not the sole repository of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I have been around too long to know that he absolutely speaks to other people.
Yes.
I mean, he spoke to me when I was a lay person. So why wouldn't I listen to someone else who's a lay person in the church? It only makes sense to me. Eli, dead.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Samuel, it's just like a kid. And it wasn't just a kid, it was like this abandoned kid.
Yeah.
Or he could feel abandoned. He wasn't really abandoned. Mom still came to visit.
He was given, I guess.
Yeah. But he's sleeping on the floor in the temple. And he doesn't know God. It's just crazy. He grew up there.
No.
He doesn't know God.
You know, it's funny because I never really caught on to that before today. I don't know why I never made, you know, read it before, but that part never sank in.
I think it makes more sense than we want to give it credit, though. I mean, how many kids grow up in the church and then they just walk away? A lot of times I've often questioned that sort of thing. It's like, if you really believe, I'm not sure how you could walk away. I mean, I get maybe, like, you want to experience sin for a while or whatever it is, but I think that's stupid. But I've always thought that was stupid. Even when I was a weird kid, okay? I was the weird kid that was religious, and I was overly religious sometimes, and then I got tempered. It's just one of those things that I watched too many of my friends come to the group, pray the sinner's prayer, and then the very next week they're just done. You know, I'm like, did you not experience anything? I mean, is that not a thing? I mean,
more was it bad than it was
right.
Genuine.
Yeah. Of course, I also participated in dating evangelism. I would date girls and then bring them to church.
Oh, I was wondering what you meant by that. Okay.
Dating evangelism.
So, all right.
And so they'd come to church and they saw that it was super important to me, and so they met their life to Christ, and then we'd break up, and next thing you know, they're not at church anymore. Well, that's interesting, because you obviously were there. Well, it's not a priority.
Okay. That's first I've remembered that.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Have you experienced that concept before? Like, seen it or anything like that?
I dated a guy in high school, and he was the one going to church, and so I started going to church with him, but I desired to be there.
See, that's the difference.
Yeah.
That's when it does work, but that's you are like the 1%.
Well, honestly, I thought he and I were going to be together forever, but that God had other plans.
Right.
So, but I never lost my love for God.
That's good. Well, and that's an important thing, because the thing is that I think in the end they were just trying to impress me somehow.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't get girls.
Some people get so caught up in looking pious. I don't know if that's the right word.
I have a problem with trying to look pious. I am not. I come off as like the least pious pastor, I think. And I almost wear that on my sleeve sometimes. I've never been one to be like, I'm going to wear the collar. I've met Assemblies of God pastors, Pentecostal pastors that wear the collar.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, really? Really?
Yeah.
I sin too much. And I'm like, you know, if I wear the collar and then I slip. I mean, I'm supposed to be this, as a Christian, I'm supposed to be this picture of Christ to others. But, I don't know, and it's not like I go out and like, I'm a big old sinner and stuff like that.
No,
church,
no, no, no.
I just,
mean.
You know, I slip up like everyone else does.
And to be honest, in my opinion, I think it's easier when people look more relatable. I mean, some people might like somebody who's dressed up and they look like, you know, this is their role, and you know who to go to because he has that look, that appearance. But I don't know. I appreciate somebody who is. What's the word I'm looking for? For lack of a better term, just average person.
Yeah.
And you don't feel like you have to try to conform to an appearance.
I think the word is genuine.
Okay.
The person is genuine.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things that I've strived to be for myself, is just being for myself.
Yeah.
And I just pray that God changes myself. He's not changing it.
Yeah.
I hope that for everyone, you know. We all got stuff. Unless he's distracted, he's fine.
I don't know. I think he's purposely trying to get it. As far as the appearance thing goes, my mother was gifted a car for her birthday. Many moons ago. It was my brother who gifted it to her. And it was a really nice car. It was a Lincoln Town car. It was like one of the newest ones. And
I missed the car.
And
I was one of them.
Oh, it was amazing. But she would drive it to church and she says, I just don't feel right in this car. I don't want people to get the wrong impression of me. Snooty individual, because she was one of those ladies who she would reach out to the people that others would just kind of scoff at, and I think she felt by having that vehicle she wouldn't be able to do that because they would automatically see her as somebody who they're just doing their duty, you know. not genuine. So.
Are you going to play air hockey? During Bible study? How about this? When we're done with Bible study, I'll play one round of air hockey. Sound good?
So anyway, she got rid of the car. And as nice as it was, and as much as my brother wanted her to have something luxurious, you know, I said, no, I can't do it.
My wife kind of felt the same way about her last car.
Was that the Volvo?
The Volvo.
Yeah.
She said it just was so nice. It's like a luxury vehicle, and I have a luxury vehicle, and I just didn't feel right having a luxury vehicle. And when it broke down, I was almost relieved.
Really?
I was like, it's a car.
Yeah.
Car's a car.
I know. Me as a young kid, I was like, Mom. We finally
have
a nice car.
It's just, for me, when it comes to vehicles, I'm like, it's just a car.
It's just a car. They get you from point A to point B.
That's it.
That's what matters.
I mean, do I want to be more comfortable getting from point A to point B? Sure. We can do that. You know? But it's more about, you have to prioritize, you know, different things. So, Scripture goes on to say this, then Pilate turned Jesus over to them to be crucified. So he took Jesus away, carrying the cross by himself. He went to the place called the place of the skull. In Hebrew, it's the Golgotha. There, they nailed him to the cross. Two others were crucified with him, one on either side, with Jesus between them. And Pilate posted a sign on the cross that read, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. So, Jesus was crucified between two thieves. It's a horrible death. It was reserved for the worst of the criminals. It was a very public execution. A warning to other potential criminals. Jesus was dying for sinners. Years later, the Apostle Paul would write that Jesus became our sin so that we could be made right with God. Jesus chose to be sacrificed in our place. I think this next question is very similar to the other question that we already had. Jesus knew that his mission was now finished, and to fulfill Scripture, he said, I am thirsty. A jar of sour wine was sitting there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put it on a hyssop branch, and held it up to his lips. When Jesus had tasted it, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. So Jesus said, it's finished. If you know the rest of the story, he was far from finished. Jesus said, it's finished, in a sense, the work he had come to do was finished. But even more so, the sacrificial work was finished. It was complete. Ooh, this is a good question. How do we try to add Jesus' sacrifice? So, the idea is, Jesus' sacrifice is enough, right?
Sure.
So how do we try to add to that? I think a lot of that stems from the concept of faith and works. And I think it's because a lot of people get this concept backwards. Like, your works are going to justify your faith. In reality, what's supposed to happen is your faith is supposed to be justify your works. Meaning, the works that you do should be an extension of your faith, not the other way around.
Yeah.
I've always looked at that going, like, if it requires something of us, that takes something of incredible value, God-level value, and actually lowers that value to us-level value. Like, the created can do more than the creator. I tend to look at things like that in senses of value.
Okay.
So, let's say what God's work did was $100, but the best I can ever give is a dollar. What he's given, what he's sacrificed is enough. It's like, It's like buying something. Let's say the cost is $100, and Christ has already paid the $100. Well, it's been paid. It's done. There's nothing that you can add to that bill that makes it any more done.
I like that. Yeah, that makes sense.
It's just whenever you give money to God, or give your efforts to God, or whatever it is, he takes it, he presses it down, shakes it all together, and gives it back to you to bless it. So, on top of all of that, I'm trying to outgive God, and he's just gonna, like, press down, shake together, and whatever. I just can't keep up. He really likes watching us try, I think.
I think he gets amused.
Well, and it's one of those things where that's actually one of the commands, I think, is that we're to do these things, you know? We're to help the sick and be there for the widows and the orphans and all the above. Otherwise, we'd just be a church full of people that just come in, worship Jesus, and go home and never talk with anyone. I don't think he's given us that option. Are you trying to get a snack? You thinking about a snack?
I'm playing by myself.
That is a skill.
And it's a game about animatronics trying to catch a night guard.
So it's like Night at
the
Museum?
Trying to kill them, basically.
It's like Night at the Museum?
Yeah. Yes, but it's nowhere like animatronics.
Robots.
Not robots.
Robots.
Not robots. Animatronics.
Chuck E. Cheese.
Yeah.
Kind of like that. But only they're active at night and they try to get a night guard.
Have you ever been to Chuck E. Cheese?
No. I'm thinking of going there for my birthday. Either there or build there.
I haven't been to Chuck E. Cheese in forever, and that's because we have an incredible pizza.
Yeah.
And I just tend to think Incredible Pizza is much better.
I feel like
it's a lot more than you.
I feel like Incredible Pizza should have had animatronics, meaning like I think they should have had a dog.
A dog show?
No, not just a dog. An animatronic dog. And a Komodo dragon.
Really?
And a duck.
A duck. How about a platypus?
And that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can I ask you a question?
And a rhino. And a rhino.
Can I ask you a question?
What?
This is a churchy question. You ready for a churchy question?
No.
Can I ask you anyway?
Sure.
Okay. So, you know what Jesus did, right? On the cross?
Yeah.
He died for us so we can have our sins forgiven?
Yes.
And we can have a relationship with Jesus, with God again? Right?
Yeah.
So, what is one way that you can think of that you can express your gratitude for that? You know what the word gratitude means?
No.
So, how can you express how thankful you are for what Jesus did?
Like, honestly, it doesn't make sense in my opinion.
How's that? Something?
Yes.
So what would that slightest bit thing be? Think about this. Has anyone ever given you a present?
Yes.
Yes. How have you thanked them for that present? You say thank you? Do you ever feel like you should give a present back?
No.
No? What if someone does something nice for you? You should see your mom right now.
Yeah, I did.
Your mom's sitting there going, I give you everything, child.
I'm not that... okay, she doesn't have it. She doesn't have a favorite.
I'm not saying she has a favorite. I'm just asking about you.
I think your mind's turning in different directions.
Yeah. So let's ask your mom the same question. So what is a way that you can express gratitude to Jesus for his perfect and final sacrifice?
Well, a lot of times just in prayer, I'll say thank you for that.
obedience.
For sure.
I gotta tell you, one of the best ways my kids can show their gratitude for what I've provided for them is just do their chores without me having to ask.
Yes.
That's like the best day ever is when I show up and I'm like, all right, guys, you need to do your chores.
Okay.
I can tell you how many times that's happened. And I fit it all in one hand. Have you ever heard of this concept called a love language?
Pretty sure you have. We've talked about it.
Well, on this thing, sometimes they don't care about love. Sometimes they don't care.
Why is that?
Tell that to my sister.
Hmm?
Tell that to my
sister. Tell that to your
sister? Yes.
Why you don't care about love? Have us express to others. Agape love is when you love someone no matter what. Right?
I don't have that love.
You don't have that love?
Not in the slightest bit.
Not in the slightest bit? Not even for your mom?
Mostly for my mom.
Okay, so you have it for your mom. What's your stuffed animal thing? Your favorite one?
Well, I don't have a favorite. Actually, I do.
You do? I mean, there was one that when we were at camp, you're like, I miss this one. Which one was it?
Like,
No.
You love that one? Do you love your stuffies no matter what?
Philadelphia.
So what that means is the city of brotherly love.
Okay.
And so brotherly love is like your friend love. Like you love your friends. Right? So you express your friendship and your kindness that way. See how that works? Kind of? It's okay. You can think about it. So Jesus loves us. No matter what. Right? And because
the reason why I like love my mom as much as I, no matter what,
yeah,
is because she gave birth to me, so it would make sense.
Of course. Yeah. You wouldn't be here without her.
Exactly.
And your dad.
And technically, everyone's related. So, if...
All the way back.
So, if Adam wasn't creative, no other human would be.
All the way back to Noah. Everyone's related all the way back to Noah. Did you know that? See, a lot of us want to think that we're all related all the way back to Adam and Eve, which is true. But there was a flood. And everyone was wiped out except Noah and his family. So we have Noah, his kids, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. All related to them. Busy guys, that's all I'm saying.
What?
Busy guys.
Okay.
I wanna challenge you this week. Can I challenge you to do something?
Challenge is my last.
Sweet. So I'm gonna challenge you and your mom on this. You guys can keep each other accountable. You know what that word means? Gonna be checking to make sure you're doing it. And you need to check to make sure she's doing it. Okay? I want to challenge you guys to every day find some way, whether by praying and thanking the Lord or whatever it is, to show gratitude for what Jesus has done.
Gratitude is love, right?
Giving thanks.
I forgot.
Thanks. Remember, gratitude is like thanks. It's like Thanksgiving thanks. Okay? Being grateful. Can you be grateful? That's really tough for kids sometimes.
So.
Yeah. I get it.
One thing that I'm grateful, the most thing that I'm grateful, is that I'm alive.
Yes.
And so technically, what I'm most grateful is not that I'm alive, it's her.
Aw.
So technically, because if she wasn't here, wait.
He's thinking
wait,
his
if, wait. If her great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather or grandmother wasn't there, I wouldn't be here.
That's right. That's true.
But maybe if they weren't wasn't there at the time, they could have been there at a different time.
Do you think you can do that challenge for me?
We got this.
Can you help each other with that?
Can you hold me accountable?
I'll hold you accountable.
There you go. That is the equivalent right there, right? Yeah, that's the third grade equivalent of keeping accountable, is keeping a cannibal.
Cannibals are cool.
No, they're not. They have a really weird diet.
They eat their own kind.
They literally are cool. What they eat.
Yeah.
Do you think we can pray and finish up tonight?
No promises.
No promises? You don't think we can pray?
Sure.
Do you want to pray? Okay. You want me to pray?
No.
You want her to pray?
She,
I agree.
She.
All right. You got it.
Okay.
He's delegated.
You better do a good prayer.
Holy Father, I'm so grateful to you and for who you are and how you love us on a daily basis, Father. The gifts that you pour out upon us. And scripture says that you're groceries every morning, and I'm so grateful that I can wake up alive and have the breath of life within me to be grateful. And I just want to take the time to say how much I appreciate so much love that went into sacrificing your son, that we may also have life. And the word that is given to us so that we can line up our lives in accordance with it. We can try to live within the center of your will and to do the bidding, Father, that you have given. I'm so grateful for the people that surround us in our lives, that love us and care for us and kind of help us through on a day-to-day basis, Father. I thank you that we have a community here that we can also pour back into. Father, I just pray that you continue every day to guide us and lead us in these things and help us to be a light that shines and in this way truly show our gratitude towards Jesus and his sacrifice. Father, I just pray that you allow us to exhibit the love you've given to us to everyone that we see, and pray that there will be many more that come into your kingdom. Pray that you be with us through the rest of the week and all that's within it. Father, help us keep our minds and our hearts on you. To the glory of your mighty name, and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Accept it. Accept.
Right.
Meaning acceptable of your prayer. If your prayer wasn't acceptable, I would have had you pray again. We're close from not having.
You are a silly man.